Freedom with Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, and Paul F. Tompkins has returned for season 3, and this time it's free for everyone. Check it out now wherever you get your podcasts. For more, follow at Earwolf on social media. Happy listening.
Documentary filmmaker and self-described anxious New Yorker, John Wilson serves as writer, director, cameraman, producer, and narrator of the all-new HBO docu-comedy series, How To, with John Wilson. It's a uniquely hilarious odyssey of self-discovery and cultural observation. Wilson films the lives of fellow New Yorkers while attempting to give everyday advice on relatable topics. How To with John Wilson, an HBO original, is now streaming on HBO Max. Hey everyone, this is Paul Scheer from How Did This Get Made, and I just wanted to remind you that you can find all of How Did This Get Made's archive and ad-free episodes on Stitcher Premium. For a free one-month trial of Stitcher Premium and access to a ton of great content, just go to stitcherpremium.com and use the code BONKERS. That's BONKERS, that's the code, for a one-month free trial of Stitcher Premium. Do it.
Let me tell you a story about a group of kids who used their breakdancing skills to take down Big Biz. We saw Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, cause you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am Tall John Scheer. Boy, oh boy, we have a great, great episode for you today. I am so excited to talk about Breakin' 2, a movie of my youth. The film came out in 1984. And what do you need to know? Well, our main characters are back, and I'm talking, of course, about Kelly, Turbo, and Ozone. But this time, they're using their dance skills to save a local rec center. People, this movie is bananas, and I'm so excited to talk about it with my co-host, who I think loves breakdancing just as much as me. Please welcome Jason Mantzoukas.
Paul, I am thrilled to be here. I'm thrilled to be here for Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo, which,
yes,
as a 12-year-old, was a huge movie in my life.
Same.
This movie was massive. These two movies, well, Beat Street, Breakin', and Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo, as a young kid who was obsessed with breakdancing, who would pull, you know, cardboard boxes out of the basement.
We're back on this bullshit?
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
She's already getting into it. She's already here.
Coming in hot. But I, so this was, you know, this is, I have to admit, I really loved rewatching this movie. I had a blast watching it. And so I'm excited to talk about this because I'm reunited with some of my best friends in the whole world, Ozone, Turbo, and Kelly, you know?
Oh,
and,
these are the heroes, the heroes of our time. I mean, I was the same way. I watched this movie a ton when I was a kid, but I don't even want to delay her entrance because not only are there hairstyles, not only are there outfits, but there is breakdancing. And we all know how our next co-host feels about breakdancing. Please welcome June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
I'm not well. I don't feel great. I did not like this.
What?
Wow.
No, June, really? I thought this was like right up your alley.
No, it wasn't up my alley. And actually, I'm going to start at the very beginning. I've never seen Breakin', never seen Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Okay.
And I mean, obviously, I recognize Kelly from Ninja 3.
Oh, my God. I was so excited to see her.
I mean,
we are now creating the Kelly-verse.
I love Kelly. But I want to start at the beginning. Like, is this a movie about breakdancing? Because I saw a couple breakdancing moves. And then I mostly saw like variations on the robot.
Oh boy. Oh no.
Really opening up. Well, first of all, I will
June,
say this movie does no.
This is such a controversial take.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I will say that this movie does no. Doesn't really help the breakdancing movement in the opening sequence because they just do tight close ups on hands and feet. And I believe that breakdancing is better seen in a wide shot.
I don't need
to see a wrist or a foot. It looks way less impressive, and it makes me think they didn't have enough extras.
They isolate all of the popping and locking. They isolate on individual body parts rather than the whole person who is doing it. Yes. You know, and that is, I agree. Sometimes filmically, sometimes filmically, this movie fails the wonderful performances. But nonetheless, I mean, you cannot deny that the turbo rotating house dance, which is an incredible dance, I think,
at the
centerpiece of this movie, I think is incredible. And so many, there's so many, the breakdance battle is great. I don't know. We can get into it.
Wait a second.
We're gonna.
The turbo house dance.
Yeah.
The turbo rotating house dance. I mean, again, show me the dance. All I saw, was a gentleman, a young gentleman, walking around the walls of a house.
No.
Again, this show
is, how can you
dance.
Say that?
Show
that is wow. a show-stopping
you
moment.
You sound like the parents. This isn't dance. What are they doing?
What's this Stanley tells me about our daughter dancing in Paris?
Darling, she doesn't even have the job yet.
And I also understand that she's been back in the streets with that Bozo or Turbine or whatever the hell their names are.
She isn't in the streets, sweetheart. She's volunteering. It's charity work. She is helping all those poor little underprivileged children.
Yeah, well, I'm going to do something about this nonsense.
Well, darling, I don't know what you can do. Kelly's old enough to make her own decisions.
I'm going to find a way. Call her up.
Yes, dear.
Get her over here for dinner.
Yes, dear.
I want to talk to that girl.
Yes, dear.
That's how I feel.
Wow.
And I love dance. I love dance. But I didn't feel anything watching these dances. I didn't feel connected. I didn't feel inspired. I didn't feel like I ever got the beat. Also, I'm going to say something. Say one other thing. When they were in group dances together, all doing the same thing, practicing for the shows, just jamming at you know, the...
Miracles?
What is this place called? Miracles, Visionary Miracles, jamming at Miracles.
Wait, Jean, can I? I'm
working
sorry.
Working on their dances. Yeah. Wait, but Paul, they were never in step with each other.
Well, hold on, Jean. I just want to ask you a question. I can't see you. We're on Zoom, but are you wearing a hard hat right now? Because you do sound like someone who wants to destroy Miracles.
Are you like operating surveying equipment, trying to destroy? Do you work for?
Here's the thing. Do you work for
Dudley or whatever his name was?
I don't know. Maybe I am. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting older.
I feel like
maybe
you are
I'm
dangerously
close.
I feel like you're dangerously close, June, to saying Kelly should go to Princeton.
Well, I did think Kelly should have gone to Paris.
She did.
I was sitting
next to her.
She said it.
What? She said it.
She
said
she
should.
What was she doing?
June, go to Princeton.
Well, no.
June,
I don't know about
June
Princeton.
Literally
I said go to Paris.
No,
Kelly
June,
should have
June,
gone to Paris.
I don't mean to call you out. We were watching this movie last night when the dad came in and goes, I'm going to make you a deal. I'll write you a $200,000 check if you go to Princeton. You go, take the deal. Take the deal. You were so...
Because I didn't understand why she wouldn't have taken that check, handed it over to Miracles, and gone to Princeton, and she could have still pursued her dance career. I mean, here's the thing. What nobody,
she had a
none
dance
of those
career.
Kids... None of those kids or the adults in the room seemed to recognize was that the infrastructure of that building was crumbling. They were in a hazardous
agree.
Situation.
I agree, but they were raising the money to fix the structure. I don't disagree with that. It was dangerous.
But every single day they kept
Do
those
we know
kids
that?
In there.
Do we know
every
this to
single
be true?
Day they kept, yes, there were engineering problems with that building.
Listen,
I mean, the building
if
looked
you
really
believe,
old.
If yeah. you believe the town council and all the corrupt city officials and the
exactly.
developers who are trying to develop that land, if you believe their narrative, if you side with the grown-ups, then the building is dangerous.
Okay, well, that's the joke of it all, by the way. Like when one of those suits says, hey, kids, I'm so sorry. When that woman says, I know you want to save your space. When she calls them kids, I mean, they are also adults.
Yeah, there's a lot of adults.
A lot of children, though. And what I like, and I will say, one of the things that I really love about this movie is that when they have group events, like when they walk through Miracles, when they do big group dances mm-hmm. at the end show, there's tons of like actual little kids who they focus on and let us see them dancing. And they're not great breakers. They're not great at breakdancing.
Oh, I disagree.
Some of them
that
are.
Little
some of them
that
are.
Little kid, that little kid,
that little kid's who, amazing.
That little kid was amazing.
But there's a couple of other like smaller children who are just trying, and I love that. And there's also weirdly older people who are dancing. Like oh. They kind of are very inclusive at Miracles, which is a bit of a miracle in that time.
You know? I was going to say, I said that to June last night. This film is incredibly inclusive, and it all kind of starts at the top. But I think to kind of address what June is saying, I also agree that there are some things that are out of step in this world. When we first have our opening rap that turns into this giant musical number, it is off key. Like, that is a bad rap. Like, that rap makes really, like, it is a stutter step rap.
Yes.
Hey, Kelly K, won't you come this way? We're gonna take you to the place where we all stay. We're gonna take you to the place where we all go. And we call this place the Miracle, where Mamella, Ozone, and Turbo T, they're a combination that can't be beat. So come on, everybody, everybody, come along with the TKO crew, cause you know what to do. We're gonna all take a walk on the avenue.
But then it breaks into this giant musical number, and I was like, I wanted to ask you both, what's the reality here? Is it a musical? Because never in the world does it open up to a musical again.
This
if it
is what I was going to say, because this coming very soon after the Cats episode. So we talked a lot in Cats about what a mess it was, how much there was just singing for no reason. And for me, I was like, why is what was happening in Cats really bothered me? But the same thing is happening here. It'll be a musical dance number and then barely a couple of lines of dialogue and then straight into another. Sometimes they cut from a dance number to another dance number, like the turbo rotating house dance number. Like, the immediate cut to is a dance scene in the disco or in the nightclub. And so, like, it's clumsy in the sense that it's overwhelmingly just dance routines, montage dance routines. But I still felt like, and I came down to this, the thing that was we kept talking about in terms of Cats was how much there was just no joy in what anybody was singing or dancing or doing. And in this movie, I felt like so much joy, even
too
if
much,
the dancing
though.
Wasn't always, even if the dancing, what'd you say?
Too much joy.
Too much joy. Wow.
Way too much joy.
Wow.
Yeah. Too much joy.
By the way,
not enough thought, not enough like strategy, not enough like, critical thinking. Too
wait, hold on,
much
June. But June,
feeling.
But didn't you just love again?
Much.
Didn't you love that Breakin' brings everyone together? I mean, literally everyone in the world loves Breakin'. I mean, we had every type of person out in the street. We had cops. We had telephone worker employees. We had gardeners. We had seniors. I even saw a doctor in a lab coat in the background getting in on the action.
Well, I will say the one thing that I really didn't care for because it really stressed me out was that hospital is going to have a lot of complications because a lot of their patients who should have remained bedridden got up and danced quite a bit.
Well, by the way, but the Breakin' brought him back to life, it seemed like. It seemed like that man was dead on the operating table.
The man was.
Maybe it was addressed in Breakin' 1, but the whole mission of Miracles is that they're keeping at-risk kids off the streets by teaching them how to dance and I guess box also.
Yeah,
well,
that was
tricky.
Rec center.
The rec center seemed like the person who was teaching boxing was also like the head of the breakdance department. It seemed like
also once the breakdancers started a breakdance routine, a lot of the boxers joined in. And I was like, I understand that a rec center might have like, oh, there's boxing classes, there's dance classes, there's this classes, there's that. I just don't believe they all do them all together at once.
Well, but didn't you think it was odd that Kelly comes from, I guess, New York, working on Broadway as a chorus girl in a bad show. She goes back to L.A. Her parents are upset with her. She comes and sees Miracles, which is this, to June's point, I don't agree with her, crumbling building. And at one point she says to her old boyfriend, Ozone, she's like, do you think it would be okay if I taught here? As if, like, there was some sort of, like, like hierarchy that she couldn't maybe figure out how to get into. Like, yeah, you show up. Literally, you just brought 50 people into this. You have a mime showing your. I don't think that there's like much of an interview process. She's like, I don't know. I mean, do I have enough talent to teach your
miracle? That's another example.
And again, you know, not knowing the source material and not knowing Breaking One, I might be speaking out of school, but what I never understood about Kelly, and this is why I wanted her to go to Paris, why I wanted her to go back to Princeton. It didn't seem like the type of dance she was doing. Her audition for that Paris show was beautiful and wonderful.
She's a very good dancer.
She's a great dancer. It seemed like she loved doing that type of dance, that there was nothing about this other type of dance. And honestly, I won't even degrade what I saw in the movie by calling it breakdancing.
Jeez,
it was
something else.
I mean, Ozone and Turbo.
And by the way, it was more boxing and more fighting and combative than I know dance to be. But
they did do a choreographed fight at one point
like the Michael Jackson video.
It didn't seem like Kelly really enjoyed doing that type of dancing over the type of like more contemporary dancing she was doing in her audition.
Well, I will say that Kelly,
she liked both just fine. Which in that case, go to where the job is in Paris.
She was going to be a lead. She was going to be a lead.
These kids depend on her.
No, they don't, actually. But that's my problem with the movie, Jason. The kids do not depend on her. They are going to be just fine with Ozone and Turbo and all of the other people.
They need Kelly, and then Kelly brings her parents, and her parents,
you know,
it's basically in a bit of a problematic way, it creates a white savior problem for this movie. But her dad gives the $50,000 that puts them over the edge and lets them save miracles.
Listen, like, there with is the amount of press they were getting, some white savior was gonna come in and cut a check.
It's interesting. June, I think, so powerfully identifies with Kelly that it is strangely positioning you in a very strange place inside of this movie.
June literally is addressing this movie as if she had an opportunity to go to Paris and she did not choose it. And June, she trains kids and regrets it to this day.
It's not just like go to New York and like be on this Broadway show. Go to Paris. Go
but
live
June,
in Paris
the kids,
to be a star?
The kids.
Are you kidding me? But the kids will be all right.
Oh, June. Wait, hold on, June. What great giant stars have attained huge success by being a lead in a play in Paris?
Well, it isn't a trajectory that I was like that familiar with. But I mean, to work and sustain yourself doing what you love to do and live in Paris. I mean, I just did not get it. I didn't understand it.
I did like at one point, to speak to what June was saying about her not enjoying it. There was a moment when they had to raise like $7,000, right? Or at one point, there's some smaller amount of money. They're like, we'll put on a show. And someone's like, I'll teach breakdancing. I'll get the costumes. And Kelly goes, I'll run rehearsals. Like, the only thing that she's adding is that she'll run. Not even like I will train you. I was like, I'll run it. Like, she'll be like, okay, guys, 5 o'clock. We got to be here. Let's go.
She was the person responsible for like pressing play on the
boombox.
The boombox. And that's the other thing. Like, at one point, it seems that they made $7,000 in one day from just their car washes. If they had kept at that pace,
they didn't have the time.
By the way, the mime.
They had 30 days. They were given 1 month.
By the way, Nate Kiley did some research here. Apparently, the mime brought in $4,500 in one day.
Wow.
Yeah, so that mime
also didn't have the time. If they were making $7,000 a day for 30 days, they would absolutely covered their...
I don't know if they could have gotten that every single day. I mean, like, I don't know how many
deductible
car washes are usually only on the weekends. I don't know.
Listen, if that group could pull in $7,000 a day.
If Electro Rock shows up and starts another dance battle, you know, they might get interrupted one day.
June is right. It would take 28 days. If they were making $7,000 a day, it would take 28 days to make the right amount of money. But I would imagine they've tapped out their community after 2 or 3 days because, like, they'd have to really start expanding and then going way wide.
But my point is this. My point is, if this group of scrappy kids can somehow, even in just the community they're in, make $7,000 in cash in one day, I trust and believe that they could absolutely come up with that money.
You know what's interesting? And now I'm starting to think about it. I think that
it is time to think about it, Jason.
Part of why I have such a fondness for this movie and part of why I'm so much less critical of it is that I saw it when I was one of the kids, and so identified with the kids' story, and so powerfully understood that this was a story about kids can challenge adults and win, that kids can fight for the thing they believe in, even if it is foolish, even if it is whatever, that they can fight adults, fight the people that are telling them what to do, that fight the people that are saying, you can't do this, you don't belong here, this, that, and the other. That's such a resonant theme for a kid.
Just like the tagline says, if you can't beat the system, break it.
So exactly. Amazing. So I think there's still a part of me that, like, that my access point is from a kid's point of view. So if I were to have seen it as an adult, I might feel, June, like you do, from an adult's perspective, no. Kelly is acting very irresponsible for her future, you know?
You guys, no. I watched this movie like Jason as a child. I didn't remember a lick of it. I remembered
so much of this movie.
I remember Ozone and Turbo, and I wanted to be obviously like Turbo because he's the coolest. But I will say this. This movie is joy in a bottle. Like, I mean, June's point, because it's not even fully clean, it's like nothing really makes sense. Like, they are just... like, everybody seems like they're having so much fun.
Well, the dancing that is omnipresent, it makes everybody happy. Like, like you said, the opening montage, when they're dancing through the streets, they dance from, like, an empty lot that they're all hanging out at and playing sports and whatever. Kelly meets up with them, and then they dance all the way through town to Miracles, accumulating hundreds of people along the way who are like, wait, we're dancing? Fuck yes! Let me abandon my job. Let me abandon my car. Let me abandon my house. Let me abandon everything to join in. It feels like the movies that to me rip this off completely are the Step Up movies.
Yes.
You know, the Step Up movies basically take this model add a competitive element to it, because the Step Up movies are always like our dance crew versus your dance crew. And this was always like our dancers versus you, the bad guys. You know what I mean? The suits, the town, the city, the adults. You're not going to tell us we can't dance. And that, I identify with.
That wasn't really the story, though. It wasn't like you're not going to tell us we can't dance. It was like you're not going to tell us we can't dance in a building that will kill us. Not if,
June,
but
when. What did you see in that building that looked bad to you? Did you see anything?
You know what
fall?
I think?
Listen, it's in Los Angeles. It might not have been retrofitted. I don't.
This is
the
pre-quake.
The earthquake had probably. No, I think it was pre-quake, but it was not structurally sound.
I think I'm going to be honest here. I think I see what this is all about. And June, I think you're not willing to say it. You are pro malls. You want more malls, and you felt like,
get
I want
me
a mall.
A shopping
here.
Center
them,
in there.
Put a shopping center in here.
By the way, it also seemed like that shopping center was so large. Like, if they would have had to taken out all the housing around there, too. Like,
it was
that was
like
a
as
giant...
big as the Staples Center. It was gigantic.
By the way,
no,
the
believe
time...
me. I mean, Los Angeles has been sold off to developers, and it's one of the reasons why I am voting for Nithya Raman for LA City Council.
Absolutely.
Third, because our current councilman, David Rue, has is literally that character in the movie who has sold off this city to developers.
And I will say, yeah. Nithya has made a pledge that she will save Miracles.
Well, yeah, so, Nithya has a large breakdancing platform, and I've seen her people out on the street, and when they give you, they'll pop lock and then give you a flyer, and it's great.
Yeah, she says she's going to reopen Miracles. She's going to make sure it's safe. Ozone, she's endorsed by Ozone and Turbo.
Which no one thought that was possible.
But here's
nobody
the thing.
Thought you could politicize breakdancing.
If I had been connected to what Miracles was actually doing, and if I had seen these kids at risk and understood, like, wow, this opportunity and this community is changing lives, as opposed to just seeing people like dance down a street together, that was hard. Because of course I believe in the power of, you know, youth movements like the Sunrise Movement, which is incredible.
And Amazing.
Emma Gonzalez and the Young People's Movement toward, you know, sensible gun legislation. All of that is incredible. But I had absolutely no connection to the work that Miracles was doing.
Well, okay, the work that Miracles was doing was, I don't think, was political in its intent. It was to give kids a refuge from the streets.
June, this, and is, give this them, is breezy.
I mean, this is classic rec center stuff. This yeah, isn't this is, like... This
and is so a, how are they funded?
June and I actually work
I don't think
with,
they are funded.
We work with a rec center,
What do you mean
center,
they're not
June?
Funded?
They're, I mean, I think they're just kind of set up in
so
that
they've
building.
Just taken over that building, like they're squatting there?
No,
they don't pay any rent?
They are the legal tenants. They say it. The boxing coach says we are the legal tenants here.
Is the city claiming eminent domain?
I mean, no, the city is saying that if they don't do the structural renovations, that they forfeit their lease.
They have to tear it down because it's not safe.
Yes.
That's, right.
They,
now,
you're right.
But I will say this. I want to go back to the woman who is swayed very early on by the man. Look, there are all the white characters who are against the kids, and the one guy in the bow tie, the bald guy in the bow tie, who goes to that woman in some sort of council meeting, and he goes, it's called Miracles. And she's like, oh, wow, what an inspiring name. And he's like, we want to shut it down. She's like, okay, great, sounds good. Like, she literally, she spins on a dime from like, oh, man, I'm so impressed with these kids. Yeah, well, sure, we should tear it down.
The movie has those kind of characters that are like, well, this is the bureaucracy you're up against. So even if me, the town councilwoman, can say it sounds like you're doing wonderful work there, it doesn't matter. The building is unsound and needs, if you can come up with the money, great. If not, we have to sell it to the rich developer, period. And your neighborhood will thus be corrupted, you know? We have to protect the neighborhood that Miracles is in, guys. I mean,
oh, listen, and I don't get me wrong. Like, I absolutely agree with all of that. But I do think that Miracles has some responsibility once they understood that that building was unsafe for children to be in.
But they're raising the money.
In there again. They should not have boxed in there again. They should not have danced in there again.
And as far as you're concerned, Kelly should have just walked away, gone to Paris, and let them deal with it themselves.
Yes, she should. June. Because Kelly did nothing to help them.
All right, June. First of all, she's bringing attention. She's a Broadway star coming back home to L.A. And I want to just say something that you probably didn't remember from the very Mr. Smith goes to Washington moment here when Ozone says, Miracles is more than a piece of property. It's people. Okay?
Great. Then it can exist anywhere. Then put it in a building. Also, we're in Los Angeles. Maybe
that's
it could
what
go outside.
That's what the developer would say. That you're saying lines the developer would say. Are you auditioning right now? What's happening?
The person I was most disappointed in, and also kind of conflicted by, was Stanley, which was Kelly's agent, who seemed to be very hands on as an agent.
Yeah, buddy. Stanley is an agent for a dancer and goes with her to auditions. That is red flag city.
Helps her pack her bags.
Really?
Helps her pack her bags.
I do think agents were different. Like, now agents are very hands off. And
sure.
I do think maybe at this time agents were accompanying people to auditions.
No, June. Not a background chorus girl.
I am so sorry. Do we have Bizarro June on the call?
There's a weird dynamic going on there. There's a weird boyfriend. I want to get into those parents.
Oh, fiance.
About
I'm sorry. Oh. There's a fiance.
Wait, he's a fiance?
He is introduced. Wait, you're talking about at the dinner scene?
Yeah.
When, okay, he is introduced as Kelly's fiance.
No.
Yes.
What? How did I miss it? I thought that her and Ozone were the thing because they kiss.
They kiss, but I don't know what their thing is.
Very
which is also confusing Rhonda, obviously.
Yeah.
I think Kelly and Ozone have a, I think they're trying to do a will they won't they.
Well, didn't they have a will they won't they number one?
By the way, that something must have happened in Breaking One, that Breaking One must have been a full love story between them. No?
I believe Breaking One was a, she's from the opposite side of the tracks, he's a bad guy, like, we don't want you so, you know, fraternizing with the kids from the other side. It was a one of those stories.
Right.
And so this, though, doesn't pick up with them having successfully become a couple. This picks up with she's been gone for a while and now returned.
Okay, so I just read the Wikipedia breakdown of the first movie. The first movie is really about them becoming a dance troupe. And they win a competition. So then she goes off to New York and is now dancing because she never really fits in with the breakdancing, but they respect each other's style very much, like that other that other thing that we did, that movie where the girl goes to ballet and the violin. It's like a mixing and merging of styles.
High strung.
A very high strung relationship.
Remember
here.
When we watched High Strung?
Oh my gosh. I couldn't touch my toes back then. Now I can.
Holy cow. What a journey.
Thank you.
What a journey.
But I'll say this much, that I feel like, so the first one is like they are becoming friends. But to me, it would have been a stronger choice if she had a boyfriend in New York that she brought back and then she fell in with this group. And then there was a little bit of a conflict. Because I have to say, when that moment happens, when there is this, like, this, I don't know, this fight about, like, between her and the other girl who likes Ozone, I'm like, whoa, what's going on here?
Yeah. I agree.
I thought I told you to stay away from here. Well, I didn't take your advice. I can see that. Kelly, I'm only going to tell you this one more time. Leave.
You're not going to tell me what to do or where to go.
I liked it a lot better around here with you gone. And I want it to stay that way.
You think you're so tough, don't you? Well, you don't have your bodyguards.
You know, I turned down a good job in Paris to stay here. And not you or anybody is going to tell me when to leave. I'm staying.
The weird thing about this movie is like it, and here's why I struggle with Kelly not going to Paris, because they set it up like they actually set up a white savior complex that doesn't even pay off because she doesn't save anything aside from, yes, I know her parents wrote her a check. There's no reason for her to be there at Miracles. It would have been better to me if she had, it would have been both a more problematic movie, but a better narrative if she had actually offered something to this community. And right
enthusiasm,
anything,
June.
So I'm just like,
enthusiasm.
You're not going to get it. Let this community can absolutely sustain itself. This community can speak for itself. This community should exist without,
well, except for the mime.
Kelly. You, Kelly, should not interfere here.
Well,
you,
here's
Kelly,
what I think.
Kelly should go pursue contemporary dance in
Kelly,
Paris.
Though, Kelly isn't arriving into this scene and saying, let me speak for you. Let me take control of this. Kelly's like, how can I help? How can I help in any way? Do you think I, first she says, do you think I can help? Then how can I help? I want to help. She's,
and
it's not,
how
she's
does
not
she help,
seeking.
Jason?
She helps by, you know, building sets. She helps by teaching classes.
By the
she
way,
helps
can we
by...
talk about what they're wearing when they're building sets? They're not wearing, like, they're wearing kind of, like, they're dressed to the nines when they're doing construction
always.
Work.
They are, I mean, always dressed so, to
Ozone
the
is wearing
nines.
A fucking, a leather Confederate or, like, a Civil War hat with, like, a furry tail attached to the back.
This perpetuates the people, young people. This is all, and again, this is, like, this, again, hits me on a nostalgia level. Like, it's all, like, thrift store clothes or whatever. So you see, like, one kid's wearing, like, a marching band jacket.
Yes.
And I'm like, yes, yes, I know that. I know that look. I remember when... kid, you would buy a random, like, marching band jacket, and that would be your alternative look, you know?
I want to go back to a time where I could dress like this.
I was also in marching band, so I have so many pictures of me in marching band marching band uniforms.
What?
Really? We got to get those up online.
Oh,
you don't want to see me
up online.
You don't want
blue and white marching band uniform with, get ready for it, a full ponytail.
Whoa. Wait, that's kind of close to on Jess and Lennon show. You kind of had
I didn't have a ponytail or anything, but we were in marching because the plot line of that episode was that Lennon and I were old flames from when we were both in marching band, which Lennon and Jess wrote because Lennon and I were both actually in marching band.
Well, okay. So I want to go back to this fiance thing for 1 second, because why did Ozone and Turbo smell his ass?
I must have missed that part.
I missed that as well.
Okay, so when he comes into the house, they're making faces like, ew, P.U., gross. Like
to his ass?
Well, then they pick up the back of his jacket and they sniff his butt like,
ew. Oh, whoa, I missed that.
And I didn't know, I was like, wow, they really are having so much fun at either saying that he smells like shit or he is shit. Like, but it's a real, like before it gets really bad, like with him, they are literally smelling his ass and doing full on. I mean, everyone's really embracing mime work here, not just the mime.
And the mime, lest you're concerned that there is also just a mime hanging around, the mime also breakdances.
Well, I mean,
everybody pops and locks.
What do you think about that, June? Are mimes like breakdancers?
What do you mean?
It seemed to show a direct correlation, almost like the mime begat the breakdancer.
Oh, that's interesting.
If you were to do one of those charts.
Listen, I'm not going to belabor the point. I found the dancing to be so unsatisfying to watch.
Believe the house dance. The house, you can't admit that the house dance is one of the best things that you've seen. I mean, it made Inception look simple. I turned to you.
That Christopher Nolan saw this and was like, oh, this is what I can do.
I believe he did, because I said to June, I was like, this movie was made for $10. I was like, how the fuck did they? I cannot figure out how they did it. And I was like, is it a gimbal?
They put the whole house on a gimbal and it rotates.
And then I have Nate Kiley did some research. Apparently, a Freddy Krueger movie was shooting next door, and they had that in that film, and borrow that set? And they're like, sure. And they borrowed that set. And so if you look in the background, Freddy's glove is on the wall.
Whoa!
To an homage, to be a thank you for letting us use the gimbal wall.
I loved that scene, and I remembered that scene because I think we've seen some version of this now a million times.
Lionel Richie dancing on the ceiling.
Yeah, in a million different ways. Yeah, Lionel Richie dancing on the ceiling, or in horror movies, or in Inception, this kind of a thing. And this is the first time I feel like I remember as a kid seeing it and it blowing my mind, you know?
Yeah.
And then when the girl comes in at the end, and he's still dancing on the wall, it's awesome.
Oh, okay. That girl.
The
I love that girl.
The way they ADR'd her voice.
Oh, this is sad.
So
this is, yeah.
Incredibly wrong and upsetting.
Yes.
It's really tricky.
Hard agree.
Not right. Por favor. Por favor.
I will also say this movie does too much ADR. I think they did it too many times, because apparently I do have a little bit of a thing about Sabrina Garcia. She spoke Spanish and English, but her voice was so weak that she could barely be heard on the audio track. So that's why they needed to dub her. And she was also in a closet at one point. Why was she in that hospital closet?
Okay. And then someone even says, what was she doing in there?
Was she hiding from the nurses? I mean, I thought maybe she's hiding from the hospital staff, but why? Why would she have to?
Why is she hiding in the closet? I was like, are they
she
trying
comes
to make
out
it
of that
look
closet?
Like, yeah, are they? I was like, are they trying to make it look like, are they pretending like the closet's the bathroom door? I was like, what is this?
I created a whole fantasy that she was in some sort of breakdancing Narnia. And
That's how she arrived?
Yes.
There's a closet door at the back of the half
of miracles.
The place that she dances.
Oh yeah, the band shell.
The band shell there, exactly.
But there, like, I mean, the ADR in this movie is so crazy because I think they even ADR the fiance or somebody to make them sound more like stereotypically white. And
yeah, or like hoity-toity, like Richie, yeah. Kind of, you know, and they then, give him like a Kennedy-esque almost like weird, like, yes. High, whatever.
And they pop it in throughout, like you could tell that whoever was doing sound design was like, let's get more in here. Because even the construction workers are like, hey, that's my lunch.
Well, they'll
like,
do a lot of things.
Is it his lunch or is it equipment? I don't know.
They'll cut to a wide shot and then just put lines of dialogue in so that you don't have to see it coming out of characters' mouths, but it still adds to the scene because you could tell they just were like, well, this is the footage we have.
Oh.
How can we create and sculpt a riveting dance-based narrative around it?
They did not use any section of footage, so much so that like everything that was shot is in this movie, and that end sequence where that musical, that kind of terrible musical number is going on, they are just cutting to balloons, they're cutting to the crowd, like they're like, if we shot it, it is going in this movie. Like it was
this. Oh, we should say this, and I meant to say this at the top. This is a canon film.
Yes.
Right? And so yes. So if people might remember, we've done a lot of canon films.
Ninja 3
Golden
is
and Globus, yes. Are the producers. They made everything from Masters of the Universe to what else have we done?
Oh, I mean, their canon group is like Bloodsport, Over the Top, Master of the Universe, Cobra, Breakin' 2, Ninja
so they
3,
are
yeah.
really the patron saints of this and their whole ethos is, oh, the Apple. Remember the Apple?
Oh, my God.
Their whole ethos is like really cheaply shoot as quickly and as much as you can and then just like cobble it together and get it out.
I mean,
you know?
So much so that when Turbo falls down the stairs, which is the moment I remember from a kid, because that was so upsetting to me as a child to see some kid fall down a flight of stairs. And when
except
you
that
see,
it's not a kid, it's like a grown man.
Oh man, that stunt double. That's like Spaceballs level stunt double.
It is so visible that it is a grown man wearing Turbo's outfit. It is hilarious.
I mean, Gene, did you feel an emotion when Turbo fell? I mean, what do you feel about Turbo and Ozone? We know how you feel about Kelly, but did you feel anything about, like, did you feel like they
so
had a
hard.
Reason?
I found everybody in this movie to be so unappealing to look at. And it, this, something about the movies that were made during this time. I mean, we were as a nation so concerned with forehead sweat, like so concerned with protecting it on men, on women. And it made everybody just look like shit. Everybody's wearing those weird men, like sort of braided head things,
headbands.
And they look terrible. And like Kelly's a beautiful woman, she looks terrible. Turbo and Ozone, I think, are good looking guys, and they look terrible. Like everybody just looks terrible.
Oh, are you saying that I shouldn't be leaving the house right now wearing like a half sleeveless mesh shirt?
Oh my God. The craziest
fluorescent,
might be.
That is fluorescent yellow.
But you know what? It is because actually when Kelly was giving me like very young Kris Jenner vibes. And when she slicked her hair back, like when it was wet, I thought she looked so great. But when it was sort of winged out like that on top and fanned out, like everybody's hair was, all of the white ladies' hair was fanned out. It just looked so horrible. And you know, it's just sort of stunning the way that even those nurses, like the sexy nurses, it's like, wow, you've taken what I think are very attractive people and managed to make each and every one of them look pretty terrible.
Here's what I'll say. I don't know that that's the movie as much as that's the 80s.
I think
agree.
You're right.
You know what I mean? Like, I think this movie was and not to say that everybody looked like this in the 80s. I think this is a little bit pushed, kind of colorful, poppy, you know, it's definitely a designed version of, but this is what people, like, I wore, like, there's a kid in a
shark
in a t-shirt
necklace.
No, I wore like puka bead necklace. Wore like, there's stuff in here that I wore for sure. And a lot of it is, so a lot of that rings true to me, and it really is just, oh, this is how people dressed, and this movie is like, here's what they wore, and it now seems patently absurd.
I wore a pretty large crucifix as a child.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I was like
Christ on the cross.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow. Absolutely. For a small Jewish boy in Long Island, that must have been very conflicting.
I want to go back to those nurses for a second. That was an odd part of this thing. Again, the movie takes like about 3 moments, or maybe 2, where it becomes a full musical. The rest is grounded in reality, or at least our representation of what reality is. And when those nurses come in, they seem to be the reason why everyone is, like, it seems like sexy is making everyone come alive, not breakdancing, right? It's like, it seems like it's breaking the kiss, right?
Isn't it the kiss between when the Spanish girl kisses Turbo and he wakes up, then everybody is like elated and the hospital is transformed and like everybody, I mean, like, I'll be honest, like the pregnant women who are there, I'm assuming in active labor, shouldn't be up and doing a choreographed dance routine. Like the surgeons shouldn't leave the operating theater. The man who is being operated on should not get up, but all of these things happen. It's alarming.
But it seems like the women, like, it just seems like this is a weird, like, in every other scene, our breakdancers are leading the charge. And I understand, like, the kiss has, like, unlocked these 3 sexy nurses to kind of bring sex into the hospital, which is not a place that, where you need to inject sex. It's not like everyone's so conservative here, we need to inject sex. It's like,
I don't know about you, but I think hospitals, you know, are pretty sexy places. And I know this because of what I've learned on Grey's Anatomy, what I've learned on ER. I mean, there's a lot of sex and sexiness happening at hospitals.
But, by the way, I was laughing so hard.
I don't disagree. I think there's definitely chemistry between healthy people in hospitals. And that it can be like a very alive, like, workplace setting in that way. But between, I don't want to see patients finding their sexuality there. No thanks.
You don't. You don't want a doctor leaving you on the table because they all got horny for 3 nurses that are running.
I wouldn't want, if I was in a hospital bed, I wouldn't want to look out and see the nurses' station all rehearsing a choreographed dance routine. This is to me the song din da da din do do din da da. That song, girls in my school in a talent show did a choreographed dance routine to that song. Like, that's how, like, huge this movie was to me as a kid. Like, that song inspired, like, the girls in my grade to do, like, a full-blown choreographed dance routine to that song.
Wow, okay, well, look, I mean, wow, this movie has, I mean, I'm surprised that June, this missed you entirely, and yet you love the step-up movies, because I feel like this is the evolution of that.
I'm
a little bit younger than you two.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably, of course. I think a good portion of why I'm as forgiving and as, you know, as enjoy this as much as I did is nostalgia.
Yeah, there's something about this movie that felt like it was on all the time, too. Like, these are one of those movies that, like, played, because I'm sure Canon sold the rights for, like, $2. Like, this and The Last Dragon were on all the time on my local, like, TV stations, like Channel 11. I felt like I watched it.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, so that's not true for me. I didn't see, I mean, I saw it a couple of times because I rented it, but I don't remember. I don't have that relationship.
Oh, yeah. Like, I would see Beat Street and Last Dragon, all these.
Huh.
Now, I want to ask you guys a question, because I thought this last night. Ozone and Kelly fuck, right? Because
I don't know how they have room on that tiny little bed.
When Ozone's place is just like a tiny,
it's not even a twin.
Oh, by the way, well, I mean, first of all,
I want to talk about
the et cetera.
Yes, et cetera. Yes, yes, yes. Oh my God, I was just going to say it. I love that she goes and she straightens the picture, which she doesn't. She still leaves it askew, and then above it is hanging. And this was such a part of 80s decor, was just the lowercase letters, etc., ETC period, just put on the wall. Like, that was something that was, like, art direction. Like, you would put, like, random letters on the wall.
I mean, that her apartment, which was, like three walls, was just, like, the detritus of breaking one. It was like, okay, let's put up a picture of the poster. Let's put some stills from the movie. Like, and it was, like, they're trying to establish it. But later on in the film, when they're eating pizza, and Ozone shirtless, eating pizza, which is not a good look. Just put a shirt on. This reminds me of that Alec Baldwin movie we did where they're eating Doritos with no shirt on. I don't like it. But I was like, oh, they're just having a pizza party, and he wanted to take off his leather shirt because he didn't want to get grease on his leather shirt. But then when the agent comes in, he gets up and zips up his pants.
Yes.
Which I'm like,
well, the zip
what just happened?
The zip 80 yard.
I mean, there's so, again,
well,
yeah.
Even in, so Ozone in that scene with Ozone and Turbo, where he's trying to teach Turbo how to seduce that young woman.
The life-size doll?
Yeah.
The life-size doll that they
so
live with?
So many questions about that.
Very
but when
weird.
When he gets up off the bed there, his pants are also unzipped.
Wait, I gotta play that clip, that flirting lesson.
You think I got sex appeal, dude?
Give me a break.
I need some advice.
What advice?
I want to know how to start off with a girl, dude.
I'll show you a few tricks of the old master.
Okay. Suppose she knows I'm there. What do I do next? Tell her I love her?
No, man, if you tell her that, she doesn't even know you yet.
Can I kiss her?
No. If you do that, she'll punch your lights out.
Then what do I do?
You do like I do. Just stand there and just smile.
Smile? Like this?
No. Matter of fact, don't smile at all.
Well, then can I kiss her now?
No, you whisper in her ear.
Whisper what?
You know, it sounds like, hey, baby, you look fine. I like it. Hey, you know, check this out. Butter up to her. You know, go ahead.
You have the nicest teeth.
No, man, she's not a horse. Tell her about her eyes.
Ooh, your eyes are so brown.
No. Here, Lord. I'm about to start from scratch with you. Let me show you how you do it.
I don't mind unzipped at home, because if I'm like, he's isn't he laying
but
in bed
with a friend over? Oh. I would not leave my pants unzipped with
a
friend
look,
over.
Their relationship to me, I love this relationship. It reminded me of Under the Cherry Moon, because when they ripped that doll yeah. apart and they go at it, I was like, kiss. I wanted them to kiss, and I would have loved it. And
if
I would have loved them to
go- ended the same way that Y Tu Mama Tambi ended, I would have been thrilled. Like, if this movie crescendoed into a threesome between Ozone, Turbo, and Kelly, I would have, and you know what, the woman that Turbo's fallen in love with, like, if that was yeah. what it was, great. I'm,
all
I'm, in
together.
It, I'm into it.
Jason,
a classic kids movie that ends in an orgy.
Did you recognize the one of the most famous actors in this film?
I don't know that I did.
Ice-T.
What? Where?
He is the rapper that they, when they go to the club, he is on
Whoa.
Stage and he comes back. June didn't recognize him either in the film. Like, so
at the
Ice
end.
T, at
yeah.
the, he is credited as rapper. But huh. he is, this is his big debut here.
So this is like pre-New Jack City Ice-T.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And here's like a little bit
no
of
idea.
His charity rap.
Put your hands together and welcome, if you will, Mr. Ice-T and Hot Top.
Party people in the place to be. First thing I want you to do is clap your hands. Everybody, clap your hands. Yeah. We're here for one reason, and you know that's true. Gotta raise a lot of money for the day is through. Now, this is not a party. This is a demonstration to try to counteract the city council legislation. We must say the miracles. The time is now. We all work together. We can do it somehow. So reach into your pocket and give me some dime. A quarter, a nickel, or even a dime. Everybody in a place, sing along with me. Everybody in a place, G-I-V-E. Say give. Miracles can live. Say give.
It's so funny that to me, Ice-T is like, was such a formative part of our childhood as a rapper, and is now predominantly, probably in most people's opinion, an actor on SVU.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, He is just that character on SVU for like 18 years, which
and
is
also
wild.
Ice Loves Coco, his reality show.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That is amazing.
Yes, I'm sorry. Let me rejigger my hierarchy. Ice Loves Coco, number one. People know him, Ice Loves Coco.
By the way, his podcast is pretty great, too.
Is it him and Coco?
It's just him like, kind of chatting, I believe. I mean, I've only heard clips of it. I think it's called, like, The Final Level or something like that.
I subscribe to Coco's podcast, Hot Coco.
Only on Stitcher. It's called the Final Level.
It's a Stitcher Premium.
Oh my gosh. He's also been on the SUV podcast. All right. My favorite scene in this movie has nothing to do with breakdancing.
The SUV
nothing
to, podcast.
The Law and Order.
The SVU.
Oh, okay. SVU. Sorry.
You know what? I'm going to talk. Today I'm here to talk about Suburbans.
That's my
I'm going to talk about the Denali.
My NTSF training is like built SUV. All right. So here's my favorite scene in the entire film. When the contractor is in the backhoe with the construction worker and he's like, run him over. And it's like, it feels like such an improvised scene. And the guy's like, oh, I'm not going to kill a kid. And he's like, do it. like that scene to me played so funny and real because he's
really
maniacal.
Did.
And the guy is like, I feel like that guy is an actual like construction worker. He's like, I'm not going
to
do that.
He's
like he plays it so,
and he has to, say out loud, I'm not going to kill a kid.
I'm not going to kill a kid.
Isn't this the scene where also the TV reporter is there?
Yeah.
Like this is being filmed. Like it would be amazing if the guy was just like, okay. And just like murdered someone. It
just
was crazy.
Drove over him. I mean,
it gets at that 80s sense of Gordon Gekko, greed is good. The developers are the bad guys. These guys they're ruining our neighborhoods. They're coming in, they're kicking us out of our places, and they're building shit for them, not us. Like, it really gets at that kind of archetype that was so prevalent in the 80s as gentrification was taking over, as cities were being transformed. And so it really did have a real, like, fuck this guy, you know, stick it to the man kind of vibe, which
who had that vibe throughout the whole movie, and I feel like got only a couple minutes to shine, but I think it was probably one of the better performances, is the dog of the rich parents, where they cut to him for two tight close-ups for no reason. The dog gets close-ups, and I was like, wait, are they doing this like to cover cuts? And I was like, well, it doesn't make a difference because they already have two shots of the parents, so yeah. It's not like they only have a wide. I was like,
I think they want the dog's input. I think they're suggesting, filmically, they're suggesting that the dog is contributing somehow. Like, when the dog has a single, I think we're meant to believe, like, the dog is speaking its point of view, and it's like, the parents only can hear it, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, my God. Well, clearly, we had opinions about this movie and about breakdancing in general, but there are people out there with a different opinion. It is now time for Second Opinions.
Was a piece of shit, yet this person recommends it. Tell me, what is the message? Maybe that art is subjective. I need a second opinion.
Now I want to do Breaking One.
We need to do Breaking One. 100%. That was John LaJoie with his Second Opinion theme. We love you, John. 135 reviews of Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo. 72% are 5 stars, 10% are 1 stars. Here's something interesting. There are a lot of German reviews. And as Nate Kylie, our research assistant, says, they're not funny, but it just seems to be very popular there. And I would argue that most of these Breaking 2 reviews are not funny, but I'm going to read a couple of them because they're just interesting. Like this one was written by Amazon customer, generic name. And the review is, my wife loves this movie. 5 stars. And then Daniela Barnes says, it brings back so many memories of good times past. All those who were around when the movie was out, and so many who are no longer here.
Oh,
5 stars. Oh, a little bit, yeah, wow. A little, yeah, in there. This one is an odd one.
Wait,
but
can I ask, yeah, was that in regards to the people in the movie? Like, have we lost?
No,
some
I think
actors?
It's like, I think it's like her friends who are no longer here.
Oh, okay.
Here.
Okay,
yeah,
okay,
I think.
Okay.
I'm the actors seem to be alive and working. Like, Ozone, okay, is a famous choreographer. Kevin Haddad writes, "This movie is great. I decided to make it the theme for my Christmas party. Christmas 2, Electric Boogaloo. I can't recommend this movie enough. 5 stars." I didn't realize that you could theme out Christmas parties.
Also, like, is this guy saying that, like, Christmas has only existed for 2 years?
Yeah. I mean, he should have, like, 2002, 2020. Yeah. Like, you could do it, yeah, exactly, when it rhymes a little bit. This one is from Tracy. It's a longer review, but I'm just going to read this one part where she says, "If you've not seen it and your youth was in the 80s era, this is a must watch. If you have seen it, watch it again. And I promise you, you will smile. Smile when memories come flooding in from a carefree time in your life, hopefully."
Hopefully.
Okay, Amazon. Hopefully.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Okay, Amazon, get with the times and get Break Into a Veil to stream. Now, it was streaming on Amazon for a little bit, but for this, if you've watched this, you probably had to subscribe to Sugar.
Brown sugar
for a 7-day free trial, and it was well worth it. And Brown Sugar actually,
which,
looks,
by
like
the
it,
way, I flipped around, and there's a lot of good stuff on,
yeah,
Brown Sugar. So
I like Brown
I'm like
Sugar.
Excited to watch a bunch of stuff in this next week while I have a free trial.
I agree. They had some really good movies there. And to June, I want to just finish on this one because I think it's a really, to your point, this is from Vine Voice. In the first movie, a lot of critics pointed out how Turbo and Ozone were popping and locking, but Kelly was just doing spins and flips. And I say, that's the point. Kelly will never fit in with their world, but was welcomed anyway because she got into the spirit of things and found it appealing. The whole thing reminded me of Gidget. The point was never to show how skilled she was, but that her passion and idealism was welcomed. 5 stars.
Wow.
And again, I guess you're right, Jason. And it seems like, what did Kelly offer? She was just sort of another hand on deck. And there already seemed to be a lot of people there.
There seemed to be a lot of people, but no one in leadership positions.
I think if Kelly had gone to Paris, it would have been her abandoning the people that were counting on her.
Wait a second, Jason. You're saying you don't trust that Ozone and Turbo could have gotten this, could have saved miracles on their own?
Well, did they?
I think we have evidence that they were unable to.
Yeah.
I think
they did not.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
And also, Kelly can choose, as we saw her do, to be part of this. Listen.
All Kelly provided was access to her parents who just randomly arrived because they saw it on the news.
They were moved and were by her idealism.
And were impressed by it. And were so impressed.
But it was not Kelly's idea to stage this sort of sit-in.
You're right. You're right. It was Kelly's idea to believe in herself.
Yes. Oh, and not take the
she
easy
believed
way
in herself
out.
And her dance capabilities, she would have gone to Paris.
June, she's
going to
be on the local.
Is that
selfish.
Kelly realized.
That is the selfish.
Kelly
choice.
Realized, you know what? I don't got it.
Wow.
And I'm not
wow.
ready for the big time.
These are the takes. These are the hot takes that people tune in to. How did this get made?
I love when June comes at a movie like this. I'm going to say one thing to you, June. If Kelly had the goods, if Kelly was someone who should be a lead in a production in Paris where all the great stars go through...
Where every dancer is proven, where they're the
exactly.
testing ground for all modern dancers, Paris, France.
To go from Broadway to Paris, France. That's the trajectory we all want to achieve.
That's what we understand to
listen,
be the dancer's life.
Are,
you get good
all,
enough
guys,
on
you,
Broadway, straight to Paris.
Listen, we've talked about this before, but there are so few dancers that actually pop as dancers.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
So a dancer's life is limited. The lifespan is limited. They have Kelly has a shelf life of maybe 3 more years as a professional
wow,
dancer.
Wow, June. Well, then are you saying
is.
That Stanley wasting his time by spending so much attention on her? Because this relationship will not last.
Well, the reality is I think Kelly is in many ways diversifying her skill set and making her professional life perhaps last longer because she has more experience doing more types of dancing.
Teaching?
And also is now teaching. And is also now teaching.
The boombox had the logo of the first movie on it. I want to just bring up I wanted to bring up one point to you, June. If she was this good, would she, in the middle of her dance, just walk off stage and start talking to her parents? She was in the middle of a routine, saw her parents, and just walked off stage. I was like, hey, what's going on, guys? Like, she was comfortable enough to leave the charity fundraising performance. Walked right off. Done. They didn't even call her over. She saw them and approached them.
Listen, yeah. If Kelly really cared about this community, she would have taken the deal weeks earlier and not put everyone through this. I mean, Turpo almost died on those steps. She would have taken the deal. She would have gone to Princeton and she would have handed over $200,000.
What was the end game? Because was it a lunchbox? And if it was, why were they chasing him so much? And if it wasn't, where, what was he going to do? Because then he was, then he would be creating a crime. And I think one of the cool things about this movie is that there are like that. There is no crime element in this movie. There's no like. Oh,
that we
like
love that even in movies.
You know, and I like that. I do like. I think it's just different. But it was interesting. It's like I don't know what the end. It seemed like they were just having fun, and then it got like. It got real serious. Like, he was running with that box. Just drop it. Just drop the box. Yeah. Who cares?
Ooh, yeah, but though he took those steps hard.
He took them really hard. Sure, so this movie, I told you the tagline was, if you can't beat the system, break it. They also have another one, which I really liked, which is believe in the beat that's on the street. It's hopping and popping. They're breaking and locking. The opening weekend, it made $2.9 million, and it domestically grossed $15.1 million. Now, that is half of what the first movie made at the box office. This movie came in 102nd place out of all the movies made in 1984. The top three movies were Ghostbusters, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, and Gremlins. Now, here is the thing I really want to call your attention to. This movie was beaten by Breaking One, came out the same year.
Whoa.
And it beat Ninja 3 Domination, which starred Kelly. So Kelly made three movies in 1 year. Wow. This one falls right in the center. Breaking 2 and Ninja 3 Domination, which I just, good on.
Well, what I realized Lucinda in Dickey. This movie is, and I know we'd seen her in Ninja 3, was that she is a very good dancer. You know, like her, when we see her actually dancing, her style of dancing, when she's doing the audition, when she's doing, not when she's participating in the breakdancing, she's like they're showing her in a wide shot doing the dancing. Like, it's not a body double is what I mean. Like, this actress can do that dancing, which I actually really liked that they integrated that and let her have real moments of like, oh no, this is why she
should have gone to Paris,
get that job. This is why she should have gone to Paris.
That audition, Jason, she's giving it everything she has, and she's completely connected. And it's a beautiful little piece she does.
Sure, but then she puts herself aside for the betterment of the whole. I guess maybe it's a communist movie.
Wow.
She didn't have to, though. All she had to say was like, hey, mom and dad, can you write that check? I know you were going to give me $200,000 to go to Princeton. I'll take $70,000 and I'll go to Paris.
Wow.
And never see my friends again.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
That is the equivalent of a romantic comedy. That's the equivalent of you want like her to Jennifer go with Gray's... The, yeah. That's Jennifer Gray's dad saying, I'll give you $70,000 to never talk to Patrick Swayze again.
Don't you ever compare
and her being like,
wow, wait a second.
Jennifer
Why not?
Don't you ever compare the chemistry, the intensity, what's happening between Jennifer Gray and Patrick Swayze? Don't you ever compare that?
But if she took the deal her father offered, you would say it would be the same. She's throwing away her life on dancing with this guy versus taking the money and letting him be.
Patrick Swayze was Jennifer Gray's first love and someone she fell in love with. I do not think from what my eyes saw that Kelly is in love with Ozone. I think she likes these people, and that's it.
Well, let me just say one thing as we are wrapping up here, June. And you'll be happy to know this, that this was actually inspired by a real life event, Breaking Two, Electric Boogaloo. The Radiotron, a youth center near MacArthur Park in Los Angeles, faced demolition, and youth director Carmelo Alvarez rallied the youth and community to march to Los Angeles City Hall and save Radiotron. I don't have the outcome of what happened there, but I will tell you this.
What?
Did they?
I was Googling.
What do you mean you don't have the outcome?
I was Googling it as we were talking, but I will say this, that Carmelo Alvarez is still an artist in residence here in Los Angeles. He is doing many community projects.
Does he do it at Radiotron? Because if not, I suspect he failed.
I thought there was going to be a little bit more there to kind of... to go on. I'm looking up Radiotron right here. There's traces of Radiotron in MacArthur Park. So I guess it did. It played a pivotal role in the West Coast hip hop movement. And from 1983 to 1985, it was on Southview Park Avenue. And they opened their door for breakdancing, writing graffiti on walls. It gained a reputation for being a safe space for breakdancing, popping, graffiti, art, emceeing, and DJing during the 80s. And it was actually where they shot Breakin' and Breakin' 2. Let's see. And despite, the community efforts to save the building, it was demolished for the Parkview Mall. But the spirit lives on through the people who were there. Visit
So this movie is like an alternate reality.
This is
so
a fantasy.
In real life, in real life, June, you win.
Oh no.
And are alive to tell that story. So
went to Paris.
Carmelo Alvarez is still involved in youth and cultural programming for 30 years. He's been instrumental in opening 14 youth and community-based cultural centers throughout Los Angeles and Mexico and in New York. And he's currently working on his 18th venture.
Great.
There he is. He did it. Oh, by the way, I did have one thing I wanted to say, too. There was a messaging problem because they painted on the building, Save Our Streets, but it should have been Save Miracles, right? I guess maybe because they shot it at the real place, they couldn't afford to change that. Because Save Our Streets, they weren't trying to save the streets. They were trying to save the building.
Save the building, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's a nitpick. Would you recommend watching this movie, Jason?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially if you like or enjoy, like I said, the step-up movies. You know, what's the Julia Stiles one?
Save the Last Dance.
Save the Last Dance. Especially if you like movies in which, you know, it is a coming together of different dance styles.
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I'm fully willing to admit that I am participating in middle-aged nostalgia for my own childhood because this looks so much like my childhood. And I was, again, a kid breakdancer. I took lessons at the YMCA.
Oh, my gosh.
And I breakdanced. We did breaking competitions in between classes at my elementary school.
Wow.
So I will fully admit.
So breakdancing, let me ask you. So
yes,
breakdancing is more than just going down on the ground and spinning around like a turtle.
You're getting into it again.
So breakdancing you can split into two categories, right? So there's popping and locking, which is like everything you do on your feet, like all of the what you called the robot, like the hand, the hand stuff, the flowing kind of sharing of energy, like I'm holding an energy, all of the the ground, like variations on the moonwalk, looking like you're floating, all of that popping and locking on the ground. And then when you go to the ground, back spins, shoulder spins, you know, head spins, all of that, the windmill, all of that stuff is a different subset. So some people were good at, so if you had like, if you know, some people were good at popping and locking, some people were good on the ground, blah, blah, blah. So all of it is, I think, I don't know, maybe I'm being wrong, but I think all of it technically falls under the umbrella of breakdancing.
And which area was your, you know, forte?
Popping and locking.
Okay.
Now, Jason, did you notice when Ozone gave that one guy a note, when that guy goes, hey, watch this, and he goes, bup. And then Ozone's like, try it like this, bup. I didn't really notice that much of a difference between those two moves.
I think it really was just, it just was more. It was just accentuated more. I think it was the same move, just bigger, is what I don't know. I agree, it wasn't, it didn't seem very different.
I am going to just announce right now that I have taken, just because something is difficult doesn't mean it's good, the shirt that we created for June and breakdancing, and I'm putting it back in the store on TeePublic right now. So just as we've talked about this, it's got to go back. It's got to go back.
What's the image on that?
The image on that is a few breakdancers popping around the dialogue.
Because what I was going to say is I had the poster, not for this soundtrack. I think it was the Beat Street soundtrack, the LP, came with a poster inside that was diagrams of breakdancing moves.
Oh, yeah.
And I was going to say, oh, the shirt should be diagrams of breakdancing moves.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
And then the phrase you just
said. It does have like really cool. It does look cool. I think it does have a little bit of that on there. So that is back in play. We are kind of coming up to November right now. And as we are talking about a lot of things, just a reminder to make sure that you vote, make sure you research your all the things that are on your ballot. And Vote Save America actually does a great job of breaking down where you live and what's on your ballot so you understand it a little bit better. So I want to just shout out that. Jason and June, anything else you want to promote or talk about?
No. Of course, yes, let's all vote. And yeah, I don't think I would recommend this movie.
Sorry, I forgot about that.
Yeah,
sorry.
It's okay. I'm gonna.
Sorry, please. So sorry. Yeah.
I'm gonna say my piece, but I had fun talking about it, and you know, it's interesting, Jason. I was just thinking, like, for someone who spent that amount of time dancing, I feel like I have seen you on dance floors at various occasions, and I don't see you breaking out any of the moves.
Wow! Now it comes for Jason.
Well, no, I say that because I do feel like breakdancing is so disconnected from any other type of.
I agree. I don't think I would not, nor, you know, this again, I'm a 47-year-old man and I did this when I was like 12 years old. So there's a lot that I was doing at 12, 13 years old that I am physically incapable of doing now. I once in an improv show did the worm. And really hurt my dick. Yeah, because when the worm, it's when you flop along the ground like this. And I just went like flop, like, and straight on.
Like, you know,
I was like, oh, and in the middle of a show, I was like,
I also hurt my body doing the worm on Parks and Rec. Because my character did Kaboom. I kaboomed the park in the second season of Parks and Rec. I think it's called Kaboom. And I had to like do this move where I'm breakdancing on stage. I had to have 3 rehearsals with a dance coach. Oh, yeah. It was intense. And they used like 2 seconds of it because I'm a terrible breakdancer. But they wanted me to jump off the stage and then do the worm on the ground,
on regular ground?
On regular dirt ground with rocks and stuff. And I cut up my thigh. Like, it was a mess.
That's not good.
Yeah, not good at all. I did not do well.
So, but no, June, you will not be seeing me breakdancing at any events that we are at dancing together. I'm not much of a dancer.
I don't see you doing really much dancing at all.
I'm not a good dancer. I'm not a good dancer. I don't like hear the music and be like, ooh, gotta get out and dance. No, that's not it, you know?
Oh, interesting. Well, and that's, I think, ultimately what I felt about this movie and breakdancing is that it was not inspired from anything and by anything. Like, it didn't
Except
make me want to get up and dance. It didn't, like, move me. And I am someone who is moved by the
music.
She
does like to dance.
I am someone who loves to dance. I'm always ready for a dance party. I've had to create my own because they're not as readily available. I mean, certainly not right now, but and this movie didn't do that for me. So I was pretty disappointed.
Wow. I did not anticipate this reaction, and I should have because of June's reaction to breakdancing in the past, but I was like, oh, this is such a great palate cleanser from yes. the sour taste in my mouth from cats.
Preferred you know, cats.
So, so June, wow, I'm sorry that this is...
preferred cats. And this
whoa!
Is, and this is just an instant... You don't
that's
even know what we're talking
June
about.
June preferred cats.
I preferred cats. Well, we'll get into cats coming up in a couple episodes. But man, this is really interesting because last night we're pretty much watching a few movies back to back. And I know that like June, it's a lot for you to watch these movies back to back without a week in there to cleanse it out. And I was like, oh, this is a right up your alley. I could not tell that this is not doing it for you. For me, it did it for
ooh,
me.
And I liked that you guys, I'm glad you guys didn't talk about it last night. I'm glad it was revealed on the show.
Yeah, we keep it pretty tight. We try to keep the integrity of the podcast at the utmost level, you know. I will say this much. It makes me want to watch Beat Street and Breakin', and I don't know if they would be as fun as this. I mean, this one is insane.
Yeah,
and in all the good ways. Maybe the other ones are better. I don't know, like legitimately
and I,
better.
And I will, this is what I will say. It is not a good, structurally, it is not a good movie.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not out here saying
across the board.
It's well plotted, it's well acted, I'm not at all. It's deeply flawed. It just, to me, I still think it came from a place of joy, so I still enjoyed it. That's all.
Yes.
I don't want to be out here saying, like, this is a great movie.
100%. Yeah, this is not like, this is kind of like, let's make a show as a movie. I mean, it has an element of it that is, I don't know, that is very one take only. And look, people are falling. You see some people take some spills in here, too. They're not cutting. They're just going through it. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. And now I will ask Jason and June, what do you have to promote, want to talk about, anything at all?
Nothing except the upcoming election. I don't know when exactly this is dropping, but as Paul said, just a real plea to get out there and vote. I do believe that November 3rd is the, well, I said this in 2016, but here we are again, the most important election of our lifetimes.
This is a fight that cannot be backed down from. I think even if you think you understand how you're voting, perhaps you've even already voted, but there are people in your life that should be contacted. Make sure they're voting. Make sure they're understood. Make sure they understand where they're going. Do the people in your family have their voting places changed? Do they know that? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And if you are in a place where you can track your ballot, do
yes.
so. You might have to opt into that. That service, but make sure you do. Make sure that your actual vote is counted because you are accounting for it getting to where it's
so
going.
So many great resources out there. Vote Save America, Power to the Polls. There's so many great places. And I also just want to call out that we are raising money right now for an amazing voting organization. If you go to our hdtgm.com webpage, you can get a Transformers episode. It's only $5. It is us talking about Transformers, a super fun episode. And all that money goes to When We All Vote, which is another great organization that you could just check out for all these resources that we're talking about. We just did our live show. I know a lot of you were bummed that you missed it. We will do another live show. And one of the things that we want to do about these live shows is we want to keep them special. So that's why we don't have the footage up for more than 24 hours. So if you can't make this one, you'll get the next one. But we want to keep on trying it in different ways. And it was so great to hear from everybody. Thank you so much for your tweets and everything like that. But we will have an announcement about another one very shortly. And if you enjoy Twitch at all, I've been doing stuff on there with Rob Hubel, and Jason's been on there. June's been on there. It's super fun. You can follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/Paul Scheer. A big shout out to everybody who makes the show possible. That is our producer, Cody Fisher. She's amazing. A big hand to Devin Bryant, our audio engineer. And of course, our other producer, Avril Halley, who picks all of our films. This is Breaking 2. She found this and couldn't have been more happy. Molly Reynolds, who's doing so much work behind the scenes. Nate Kiley does all of our research. Nate, we love you, Nate. And I'm glad that we found out the end of that Radiotron story. A big shout out to Kyle Waldron and Zach McAleese, who does all of our art. They are equally very talented people. You can follow them on Instagram. You can also follow us on Instagram and on Facebook. And remember to rate and review the show. It really, really does help so much. We appreciate all those things. They've telling me to do it more. And if you want to hear our entire backlog, our category, everything commercial free, you can sign up for a Stitcher premium account where you get 1 month free by using the code BONKERS. That's 1 month free. And you can even hear this episode right now commercial free if you're signing up for that and the premium version of it, of course. Brand new app there. Really, really fun. Thank you, everybody. Tune in next week for the mini episode where we will talk more about Breaking 2. We'll talk about your problems. Jason and I will have a Quar chat. Just give me a call at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's Paul Ask. And we will talk about your life, your problems, or just about this movie. Thank you, everybody. And we'll see you next time. Bye for now.